Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Hallelujah. Now, today we want to continue to speak on the subject of the benefits we have when Jesus Christ is revealed, the benefits of the unveiling of Jesus, the benefits from the unveiling of Jesus. God wants Jesus to be unveiled to his people anytime in their lives, because the whole Bible is about the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God wants to bless our lives with, it goes beyond everything you can imagine. It goes beyond giving us money, giving us a wonderful life, giving us a family, giving us travel opportunities, giving us all the blessings that we can think about. What God wants to really give us goes beyond every imaginable blessing. It touches on the knowledge of Jesus, getting to know Jesus Christ everywhere that we are. That is really the grand test that we have as believers. As believers, we are supposed to be able to discern our Lord Jesus Christ everywhere in our endeavors. Now, we want to look at certain benefits we have when Jesus Christ is revealed or unveiled. And today we're going to look at about three or four. So we are going the full haul to 12 benefits that I have for you. And today we want to look at four of them. And I want us to go to the book of Hebrews chapter number 1, and then we will read verse 3. Hebrews chapter number 1 and then verse 3. The first benefit we have when Jesus Christ is revealed is that it brings answers to your prayers. The revealing of Jesus brings answers to your prayers. Hallelujah. The reason is simple. It is because Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus is the answer. In other words, when God looked upon the earth and he saw problems of all sorts upon the earth, God had only one answer. That answer was the Lord Jesus. So over 2,000 years ago, God revealed or released his only son, Jesus, into the world as the answer to all of the problems that were plaguing mankind, from the spiritual to the relational to the physical, every aspect of the life of humanity. So Jesus Christ is really the answer, as we like to sing. Hallelujah. He is God's answer to every problem that we have. So, I want us to understand that anytime we have problems in our lives and we pray to God, one of the things God does is that, in fact, what God really wants to do is that he wants to release Jesus to you. You know, he has released him physically, already, for him to come and die for us. But he wants us to see what he has done. He wants to reveal the work of Jesus on the cross to you afresh. He wants to reveal to you what Jesus Christ is doing for you right now. He wants to reveal to you the person, the principles, and the performance of Jesus. Because that is really God's type of answer. God cannot answer you your prayers in any other way without revealing what Jesus Christ has done and who Jesus Christ is. Because that type of answer, the revealing of Jesus, anchors whatever thing that you are looking for from God. Hallelujah. Now, there are other ways that you can receive answers. You know, there are other ways that you can have your problem solved, but without anchoring it in the person of Jesus and what he has done, his performance for us already, whatever answer you have becomes sinking sand. It is said that the devil can blow it away. It is said that you can lose it. Hallelujah. Ultimately, in the judgment, when God is looking at the things that we've been able to do in our physical lives, those things are not going to count. You see, because they don't have Jesus as the foundation. The Bible says that nobody can lay any other foundation that can anchor whatever thing that you have except the foundation that God has laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is basically the answer to our prayers. So when you Jesus is revealed, when you see Jesus, then your prayers becomes answered, because really he is the answer. You must understand that everything in this earth was made by Jesus. We know that. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that he sustains everything. The Lord Jesus sustains everything by the word of his power. Verse 3, Hebrews 1. Who being the brightness of his glory, referring to the Lord Jesus, and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He says that he sustains everything on this earth by the word of his power. So whatever thing that you are desiring from God, it is sustained by the word of the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. In other words, you cannot put Jesus Christ aside and really have an answer. Hallelujah. That is why we need the revelation or the unveiling of Jesus Christ to our lives all the time. That is why you need to pray that, Lord, reveal Jesus to me all the time, because he is the answer to all your problems and all your prayers. There is something that Jesus Christ said in the book of John chapter 17 that I want to draw your attention to. In John chapter 17, Jesus Christ is praying what we call his high priestly prayer, and he tells God that he should give him the glory that he had, you know, with him, with God, before the world was made. Look at John chapter 17 verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So Jesus had a certain glory with God. In other words, before God, before the world was made. And I want us to look at a dimension of that glory. It is in the book of Proverbs chapter 8 and then verse 30 and 31. Jesus had a certain glory which he asked God, that God, having finished what you have got for me, I want you to give me back the glory which I had. I have something with you. Give it back to me. Hallelujah. Now we want to look at a dimension of that glory in Proverbs chapter 8 verse 30. Jesus, or the wise man, is speaking on the inspiration. He says, then I was beside him, you know, beside him, the him referring to God, says that I, wisdom, in context is talking about wisdom, but actually he's speaking about the Lord Jesus, says that I was beside God as a master craftsman. Please underline master craftsman. And I was daily his delight. Jesus says that he was daily the delight of God the Father, rejoicing always before him, before God, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. You know, Jesus says that I was beside God the Father as a master craftsman, and God delighted in me. Wow. And he says that he also delighted in the sons of men, you know, of being with humans. Hallelujah. No wonder when God wanted somebody to come and redeem us, the master craftsman that Jesus was before he became a savior, he said, I will go, because he says that I like the inhabited parts of the earth, of the world. He says that I like to be with the sons of men. So when sons of men were in trouble, Jesus says that I will go. But before he became a savior, as a result of the fall and the sin of man, the Bible describes him as a master craftsman who was before God. That is why John chapter 1 says that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that God did, he did it by this master craftsman called Jesus. That was a certain glory that he had with the Father. And the Father delighted in him. He was beside the Father as the ability of the Father to do things on this earth. Hallelujah. And so in the high priestly prayer, Jesus says, Lord or God, give me back the glory that I had with you before the world was made. Hallelujah. That was when he was a master craftsman. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the restored glory of the Lord Jesus. He didn't just create everything that was made. He didn't just craft everything, design everything, and made everything. But he is a sustainer. And at the moment, he has the glory of being a craftsman. That's why he can craft your life. That's why he can repair your life. That is why he is the answer. Because he made everything, including you, and he can answer to every issue that is plaguing you in this physical earth, because he made it. He is the answer. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. That is why we must desire the unveiling of Jesus. We must cry, literally, if Jesus is not revealed unto us. Do you know why? It is because we do not have the answer, having to inverted commas, we do not have the answer to the problems that we have. And when he is revealed, every problem dissolves. When he is revealed, every confusion is melted away. When he is revealed, everything plaguing you physically, spiritually, emotionally, they are doused. All of the fires blazing in your life will become quenched or doused by Jesus being revealed unto you and I. Hallelujah. That is why we must crave for the revealing of Jesus. Wonderful. That is the first thing I want to share with us today about the benefit of Jesus being revealed unto us. It anchors, it gives us the answer to our prayers and the solutions to our problems, and it also anchors those answers and those solutions permanently, forever, even into the kingdom future. Amen. Now, the second thing I want to share with us today is that the revealing of Jesus makes us ready for his coming. The revealing of Jesus makes us ready for his coming. And I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that talks amply about this. The revealing of Jesus gets us to be ready for his coming in the rapture. His coming in the second coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then verse 5. We'll back up to verse 4 so that we get a context. We'll read down to verse 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please underline the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship, underlying fellowship, of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, and he is telling them something very positive about them. You know, he begins by saying that the grace of Jesus has enriched them, or has made them rich in everything. Underline in everything. So this church was enriched by grace in everything. All right. And then he's breaking down the everything. He says that in all utterance. Utterance is talking about speech. If you like, preaching, you know, prophecy, and in all knowledge, underline all knowledge, all knowledge.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Right? So they were rich in preaching and in teaching, which is the knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. The testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. All right, look at verse 7. So that you come short in no gift. You do not lack any gift, the apostle is telling the church. So they were not just good in preaching and in teaching. They didn't just have the knowledge of the Bible, so to speak, and other knowledge, because it was a cosmopolitan society, it was a port city, and you had foreign people coming over there to Corinth, you know, and they had a robbing of cultures, and they had intellectual people over there, all right? You know, understand that it's a Greek society, and they like to be scholarly. You know, that's why Paul said that he went to them not with the wisdom of men, because they like scholarly, you know, intellectual things, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right. But he says that they don't lack any gift. In other words, in the church of Corinth, there were plenty of spiritual gifts. In fact, all the spiritual gifts were in operation. Paul talked to them about it. You know, they had plenty of spiritual gifts, all the words of knowledge, everything, prophecy, everything was going on. There wasn't order anyway, but you see, everything was going on. But he tells them, in the midst of all this great preaching and teaching and manifestation of spiritual gifts and miracles and all that in the church, Paul tells them that they are waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, the unveiling of Jesus that we are talking about is not talking about the revealing of spiritual gifts. Because sometimes we think that, well, if the spiritual gifts are in manifestation in your life, then it means that Jesus Christ has been revealed. The revealing of spiritual gifts in the church doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus Christ has been revealed. Because these people had it. And Paul says that you are still waiting for the revealing of Jesus. They had all the knowledge, secular, Bible, but they were still waiting for the revealing of Jesus. And Paul tells us what the revealing of Jesus Christ is going to do in verse 8. He says that, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus. Underline the day of our Lord Jesus. In the Bible, the expression, the day of our Lord Jesus, is talking about the coming of Jesus. So the revelation of Jesus he spoke about in verse 7 is not talking about the coming of Jesus in the skies for the rapture. He is talking about what? He is talking about Jesus Christ standing at the door of the church, you know, the last day church, the Laodicean church, and knocking that I want to come into my church.
It is a spiritual revealing of Jesus in his church that must take place in this end time. And that, the Bible says that that revelation will confirm us. The word the Greek is talking about, establish, will establish us to the end. The other word is stable in the Greek. It will establish us in the end so that we will be blameless when Jesus Christ physically comes in the rapture or in the second coming. So the unveiling of Jesus does something to the church. It establishes us. It makes us stable. It prepares us for the coming of Jesus. I don't know what kind of preparation you think you must make to meet Jesus. I suggest to you, the most important preparation you must make to meet Jesus is that you become like him. Simple. That is why the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 or so that when he appears, we shall be like him. That place is talking about the rapture. Alright? But inference, the principle is the same. It says that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. On what basis are you going to be like him? On the basis of the fact that you see him. It says that when we do not know what we shall be, God loves us. Behold the manner of love that the Father has loved us with, that we should be called the sons of God. And indeed we are. It says that we are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be, you know. But he says that we know one thing, that when he is revealed or he appears, we shall be like him. And there is a reason why when he appears, we shall be like him. He says, it is because we shall see him. When you see Jesus, when he is unveiled, then the principle is that you get to be like the person that you see. Hallelujah. That is why we need to pray for, long for, all of our heart desire should be that Lord Jesus be revealed. Because number one, you are the answer to everything. You anchor all my answers. You are the real answer. And number two, you prepare me for your coming, that I will be blameless. Not faultless, but blameless. There is a difference. When a child is walking and the child of maybe 1 year is trying to walk and falls down, the walk is faulty. But you can't blame the child. Why is it that you cannot walk and all that? He's blameless, but there is a fault. Says that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. The devil doesn't want us to talk about Jesus. He wants us to talk about other things. He doesn't want us to reveal the performance of Jesus. He wants us to reveal other things. That, oh, you know, he came to die. Oh, yes, he took our sickness. He took our sins and all that. You think you know that? Do you really know it? Because it's going to... eternity cannot even divulge fully what Jesus Christ came to do, because he is an overpayment. He is not bringing us to an equal place like Adam. He is lifting us. Adam, ladies and gentlemen, was not seated in heavenly places in Christ. But through Jesus, you have been restored and elevated to heavenly places in Christ. Adam was not like that. He was walking this earth. But you are there. And you are here. You have authority in heaven and on earth. I don't know about you, but Jesus is an overpayment for all of the things that we lost. Hallelujah. So the second benefit I'm sharing with us today that should make you crave for the revealing of Jesus in your life, in the church, as you study the Bible, as you go about life, your main quest should be that. And the second benefit is that he is the one who is going to confirm you to the end. His revealing is going to make you ready for his appearance, the rapture, and his coming. Hallelujah. Reason number three The third benefit we can get from the unveiling of Jesus is that it brings the church to a place of kingdom unity. To a place of kingdom unity. I qualify the unity as a kingdom unity because sometimes we have the idea that unity means that you are speaking the same tonation, you dress the same way, you know, you understand the same way, you know, and you are all in one place. That's religious unity. Kingdom unity is a kind of unity that upholds the differences in functions, differences in perspective, but still cements or puts the people together because of kingdom love, because of agape love. Hallelujah. So what happens is that when Jesus is revealed, it brings the church to a place of unity. The Bible calls kingdom unity the unity of the faith. All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It says this. Well, for context sake, let's back down to 11. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, 13 is where I want to zero in, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, verse 13 is describing, as it were, if you like, the end of the fivefold ministry. It says that God gave fivefold ministry to the church for the maturing of the saints, so that the saints would do the work of the ministry till we all. In other words, the fivefold ministry should operate until a certain point. When we see that point, it means that the church age has ended and the kingdom, the full expression of the kingdom age is begun. It says to we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, please underline the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the knowledge of Jesus. The knowledge of Jesus, I suggest to you, is talking about the full recognition and discernment of Jesus. It is from the Greek word epignosis. There are several words that are translated knowledge in the Bible. So when you see knowledge in your English Bible, be very careful, because it doesn't really, it may not necessarily mean what you think. One word is gnosis, you know. Another word is ginosko. Another Greek word is eido. Another word is epignosis. Epignosis is also translated knowledge, just like these other Greek words I've spoken about. Epignosis means full discernment, or acknowledgement, or recognition. Hallelujah. That is what epignosis means. It says that till the church comes to a place of the full discernment of Jesus. Do we know Jesus Christ the way that he really is? No. You may have a partial knowledge of, but he is bringing the church, the fivefold ministry should bring the church to a place of full discernment. An acknowledgement of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see something, because the point I want to make to you is that the revealing of Jesus brings the church to a place of kingdom unity. See how four things are put together in verse 13, Ephesians chapter 4. The first one is the unity of the faith. The second one is the knowledge of the Son of God. The third one is a perfect man or a matured man. And the fourth one is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at these four things that have been put together. And the question you have to ask yourself, why has the Holy Spirit put them all together? The measure of the stature of Jesus is equal to the knowledge of Jesus, is equal to the unity of the faith, is equal to a perfect man or a matured man, talking about us coming, the church coming to a place of maturity. Why are those four things put together? They are put together, ladies and gentlemen, because they relate one with another. How can you put four people together if they don't have something common among them? If they are not linked to one another? He lumps them together because the full discernment of Jesus will make us have maturity. The full discernment of Jesus will also do what? Will also bring us to the place where our stature as a church is like Jesus. In other words, the world looks at us and they see Jesus. Because we have come to a place of maturity where all the jigsaw, all the pieces are put together, and we see a picture of Jesus, and we look at the body of Christ, which we call the church, and we see that, oh wow, they are really the body of Christ. They look like Jesus. They are really Jesus Christ walking this earth through them. Hallelujah. Wow. The full discernment of Jesus will also lead to what? It will also lead to the unity of the faith. You want kingdom unity in the church of God? Reveal the founder. Reveal the cornerstone, the one and most important thing. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about him. Let's all decrease and let him increase. And when he is so increased, ladies and gentlemen, unity will come as a matter of course. He will bring us all together when we elevate him. But when you keep elevating one church over the other, you keep elevating one man of God over the other, you are disintegrating the church. It is when we come to a place of discerning Jesus that kingdom unity is brought up, because he can fix all the parts together. The Bible says that in him all things consist.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name. Amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.